210 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Lindsay, Donna, and Elizabeth. Busy families know that it can be challenging to find time in the schedule when everyone is available for a vacation. Between work schedules, school, and extracurricular activities, sometimes 1 week out of the year is the best you can hope for. But there is an alternative. How about splitting up and taking turns traveling with your kids one-on-one? No, it doesn't mean you're picking a favorite. It just means you're taking advantage of an opportunity to reconnect and to get to know your child on a different level. Just make sure everyone gets a turn. This week, we want to talk about the advantages of traveling with your kids one at a time and how to make that happen. So, let's get started. So, I know that Elizabeth and Sandy, you guys have both done this recently. How do you decide which kid goes with which parent?
You pick your favorite.
I pick my favorite.
Boom! No, we don't have a favorite.
The one episode your children won't hear.
No, I think what they mean to say is you pick the one who's most interested in going where you want to go.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It does depend a little bit. I started a tradition with my kids right after my mom passed away. I wanted to travel with my daughter, just her and I, and it was just totally a grief thing. I used to travel with my mom, and so I wanted to do that. And that, the connection I made on that trip and traveling with her, we went to Disney, was so unexpected. I didn't know that I was going to have that reaction. I knew it was going to be a special trip, and, you know, obviously the reasons for it, were very emotional, but, she started talking to me in ways that she didn't talk to me at home because she always had her brother around. So she just opened up in a totally different way. And I was able to see a lot more about what she really likes and who she really is, because she wasn't hiding it from her brother or conceding to her brother, you know. And it's funny because if you know my kids, you're like, I can't imagine she would ever concede, but she does, you know. Every now and then she has to step down and say, okay, well, it's Marcus's turn to do this thing that he likes. And then Marcus has to step down and say, well, it's time for Athena to do something she likes. So on a trip like this, then you can literally just turn it over to them and let them run the show. And so once I did that with her, I decided I had to do it with him. And so we started alternating every other year. You know, I took one kid or the other. So mine was literally an eeny, meeny, miny, mo is sort of how it came about.
Yours is good because you have been very intentional about making that happen with both kids. But I would have to say my oldest son is the one who has not gotten the advantage of this in our family. So I've done trips with just my daughter, and I've done trips with my daughter and her twin brother, like the twins. And that was more to do with school schedule. Mm-hmm. Because they were on year-round still, and Fox was on traditional. And, we're going to make it up to him with his senior year. I think he's going to get a good trip.
And your husband's going to get to do that one.
I know.
Sammy's so happy about that.
Yeah, I know. I'm so nice.
is your husband going to go alone?
Yeah, I think that the two of them, we haven't totally decided, but we're kind of leaning towards them going to Greece. Because they're both into mythology, and they have this connection with that. And honestly, I think it would be good for both of them. And then they'll get off my back about how much I travel. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, because I think that question you asked, Laura, it's such a good one. How do you pick which child? But then how do you pick which parent? Like, how do you know which one? So in my case, that started because I needed to grieve. I needed to do something. You know, there was a drive there. My husband, who loves his job, but also has plenty of vacation time, he's often the one that stays home and takes care of things here while I'm traveling for work or if I'm traveling with one of the kids. And so recently, Athena was given an opportunity. There's a school trip to Central Europe, And it includes Prague, which is one of my husband's favorite cities in the whole world. I've never been to Prague, but he has been, and he's wanted to go back for a very long time. And so when the opportunity came up, we first talked about just letting her go, you know, with the group. It's going to be a chaperone trip. And my husband was like, well, I kind of want to go. And so
I didn't realize it was a chaperone trip.
It's a school trip. So he's going to be a chaperone, but, yeah, but he's also, there's not very many kids going on the trip. So far there's only six. And two teachers plus him. So yeah, he's pretty much going to be able to hang out with my daughter and they can room together and, you know, so it'll make her more comfortable in that situation. And he gets to do this as well. So I think now it's going to be on a case by case basis, like what the opportunities are and then who can go at that time.
And that's also a way to cut expenses too, because if you've got a large family, then, you know, it's a lot easier to pay for two people than it is to pay for four
or five. Yeah.
I have to give a shout out to my friend Julie Budd if she ever does listen to our podcast, because I watched her do this for years with her three boys, mostly to Disney, but she took every time she went, she'd take a different one and they would have a different, she'd have bonding time with that child, and they're all in their 20s now, but it really worked well for their family because of that very reason. Her husband couldn't take off time for work. It's cheaper if you're only taking one kid, and then they get the one-on-one time with mom. And
yeah, I will say, too, my kids have gotten to this point where they don't all want to do the same thing. So my son Owen is all about the outdoors. All he wants to do is that kind of, like, I mean, he wants to hunt, and we're like, okay, we need to find a friend of ours because we don't hunt and we don't fish, and, you know, but he wants to, like, my bucket list thing is going to see the Avett Brothers at Red Rocks in Colorado. And if I took him on that trip and did some, like, side trips to Rocky Mountain National Park and stuff, that would be his idea of heaven. The rest of my kids don't care about any of that. You know, he would suffer through the Avett Brothers so he could do that other stuff. And Fox would be like, no, I'm going to be in this hotel room playing my video game. You know, like that would be what he would want to do. So, and Owen doesn't really care about Greece. So it's just, you know, it's just the way it's kind of panning out. I think Ellie would do just about any trip I ever wanted to take her on, though. She'd be up for it.
One of the things that I found is that, like you say, that he would suffer through the Avett Brothers, but it just might be like in that atmosphere and in that place and being with you, there's something he learns to like about the Avett Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like oftentimes in another environment, you know, a friend of mine, when I was still living in North Carolina, a friend of mine, and I love James Taylor. I've seen him more times in concert. Well, you know, I go to James Taylor concerts like you guys go to Disney. Let's put it that way. And I don't care that he's singing the same songs he's sang last time. I'm going to go see him again. Yeah. And she brought her daughter, who was like, I think, 20. And smart, really incredibly smart young woman who's in theater and screen. And she was like, James who? You know, and by the end of the concert, she was like, he's got really good jam, you know? And I think, and you know, it was kind of in that time and in that space, she was kind of open to it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's part of what you find when you spend time with anyone one-on-one, but especially with your child, you know,
that allowing them to be themselves is so key. And you don't really realize how much they hide themselves when they're in a group, even with their friends, you know, but if you pull them out by themselves and really say, the world is your oyster. What do you want to do? You know, obviously the world is not completely your oyster, but you know, you sort of within the confines of this trip, you know, and they come out with some amazing things, and you learn a lot about who they are and what they get excited about and what moves them, in life. I mean, not just in travel, but in life. And, you get to know them better. And it's interesting because as these trips go on and I do more of them with each kid, I find that I can predict better. Those first couple of trips, those kids just surprised me with what they did or didn't want to do. And now I feel like I know them so much better from traveling with them. And honestly, that can be transferred to anything. You get to know somebody really well when you travel with them.
Yeah.
Really well. And so it's, it's a way for us to separate ourselves from everything else, from the other parent, from the siblings, from the friends, from the school, from everything, and just talk about who we are. And I dare say that my kids learn more about who I am from those trips as well.
Well, my kids say things sometimes that make me sad. Like, you know, I talk about how much I love travel and trying to give that to my clients and stuff. And they're like, well, we don't ever go anywhere. You go everywhere, you know? And I'm like, they go places, but there's a lot of places I've been that they have not been. Mm-hmm. So I am trying to up my game on that. But one of the things that was really cool whenever I would take just Owen and Ellie together is how they would reconnect as twins, you know?
With each other. It was so cool to watch them together.
Weren't they cute?
My gosh, they were, you know, and most teenagers, you know, become jaded early. I hate to say it, like it kind of, but it was so cool. I got the benefit of seeing them together on a couple trips and to watch them interact and play with each other. And like the day that the tails.
Yeah. Instead of mouse ears, they got tails. They got, Owen got the monster tail and Ellie got the Cheshire cat. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I should say this doesn't replace our family trips. You still have to take the family trips because bonding as a family is just important. So this is just a secondary way to travel. And again, you know, if you can't take multiple trips a year, and most of us can't, then how do you, you know, share that experience with them as much as possible?
Yeah. So what do you do when you're on an awesome trip, like you just did the Adventures by Disney with Athena? What's going on with Chris and Marcus at home?
So I think, you really have to ask them, but I think actually they've learned, well, Chris is just, my husband is very, very patient and understanding, and I think it bothers him that he doesn't get to experience it, but at the same time, it doesn't bother him so much that he's like actively jealous. He understands that there's a choice that's been made here.
Do they do cool stuff?
Sometimes they do. I think this last trip they did more, but then Marcus just knows that next time will be his turn and he can do something awesome. So I think he's super patient too, because there was a period of time when I first started my business that we couldn't do anything. So Athena got her trip, and then there were several years before Marcus got his, because we just didn't have, financially, we couldn't do it. So now we've been talking about different ways, and you know, Marcus and I are looking at going to the Broadway convention.
Oh, yeah.
Athena would really not like to do that at all, you know, or we may go to Disneyland in California, or we may, you know, whereas Athena was much more interested in doing something outdoorsy like Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, wherever we went. They have different interests. Athena is not as much, she enjoys theme parks, but she really likes roller coasters and just the thrill of theme parks. Whereas Marcus is much more the history guy. So if we do go to Disneyland, if that ends up being the final contender, we're going to do the Walk and Waltz Footsteps tour, which Athena would hate every second of. She would hate every second of it.
Yeah.
But Marcus would just, you know, so it really does allow us to do different things. And I don't know, we're going to see with, you know, this trip with Athena is going to be the first time Chris has traveled just with her and him. And I'll be really curious when they get back how it went. You know, he's a very different traveler than I am. I know that my trips with him are different than my trips with the kids. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't think it's going to go badly. It's just I'm really interested to see how it goes.
You know, yeah, I know, because like I talk about Chris taking Fox for a trip to Europe, but he hasn't. Well, it's not that he hasn't done anything, but like the first trip I took when we did the girls' trip and you took Athena and I took Ellie to Disney, he took the boys to Great Wolf Lodge. So his stuff is not as kind of spectacular. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had the benefit of doing like the really cool stuff. So
yeah, Chris has had the option. He just has not chosen to take it. Usually if they're staying home, it's probably because the other kid has something else to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's other commitments. So, but we'll see how it goes. And you know, there, and I'm a little bit jealous that she's going to experience some things that with him that like they're going to Auschwitz, which I'm not. It sounds weird that I'm jealous of that. I would like to be there when she experiences that. I would like to be with her when I experience something like that. That's, you know, somewhere I have not been. And it's so important historically, and just to see her reaction to it and to be able to talk to her about it and to, you know, to discuss history at that level and what it means to the world is, that's a key part of travel to me, and I won't be there for that experience. I completely, you know, trust my husband with it, but that's a big moment that that I won't be there for. And you sort of have to surrender to that as parents when you decide to do this and take the trip separately, you know. And again, these, we're talking about people who are still married in a, you know, in a partnership where you decide to go on separate vacations. Obviously, there's all sorts of family situations where you end up on separate vacations. But this is, you know, this is one where either one of us could go. And you have to choose, you know, who's going to get to do that and have that experience.
Well, I think there's something to be said. I just want to back up a minute because Sandy said something about her husband, you know, took them to Great Wolf Lodge and he didn't get to do the fun stuff. You know, but I think, you know, we are talking about some big trips when you're talking about, you know, Adventures by Disney trip or going to Disney or, you know, going to California. But the weekend away at, you know, at Great Wolf Lodge is a great place to take your kids.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, that's true.
Is a, you know, and that it's, you know, what we're encouraging here is, you know, take your kids someplace outside of your own environment and be with them.
Yes.
You know.
Good point.
And if and if that's if it can't be, you know, there are options that we have, maybe like a cruise on Carnival or something like that, where that the price point is not so high, but you get. You know, you guys get to do things together you never thought you'd get to do together.
Well, and even if you know, if you take family camping trips and you love camping, then go camping just with one at a time because it just, it changes the dynamic of it. So yeah, it doesn't have to be an expensive trip.
Yeah. One of the best ones that I've done with this is with Owen and Ellie together again, but Pittsburgh. Because, you know,
good job, baby.
That goes back to Fox's schedule, though, because
let's poll the kids and find out which is their
favorite. Well, and I mean, sometimes going to visit family, you do have to, like, you have to take whoever can go. And in today's world, you know, we have different school schedules. I have one child in high school, one child in middle school. One of the schools is a charter school. The other one is a public school. Their breaks are different times. Yeah. There's very few times during the year that they're going to be off at the same time. And that's usually in the summer when everyone else is traveling. So we will continue to travel together as a family during the summer. But if we want to take any of those little trips that we can do, you know, the bigger trips that we can do because they're less expensive because they're off season.
Yeah.
I have to time it out with the kids' vacations. And that's, you know, this trip for Athena to Central Europe is over spring break. And it is a school trip. It's tied into their, you know, art history and the history lessons that they're learning. So it's definitely a learning thing, but, you know, not, it's a huge hands-on experiment, you know, and it's over spring break. My son actually has spring break about the same time. So he and I probably will do something else while they're doing that, but it won't be huge. It's during my busy season. I can't go anywhere during that time of the year. So
staycation.
Yeah. So we'll do something. We'll definitely do something. Well, and I think there's theater going on. That's, you know, it seems like all of our season is in the spring. So, we'll do something. We may go visit Aunt Linda or something, you know, something close by where I can still work while I'm there.
You mean in Raleigh?
So, no, she's probably still in New York.
We're going to drive 10 miles up.
We're going to go visit Sandy in Holly Springs. It'll be
fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to do something big. You can go, you know, to the next town over and just get a hotel room for the night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I want to do with Owen, because he's so outdoorsy, is I can't believe we haven't been to the mountains in North Carolina yet. I mean, he's going to be 16 next year.
I know.
I've been to the mountains in North Carolina.
I have. I just haven't taken my kids.
Most of our listeners probably have been. And well, no, I took Athena on a derby trip a couple of years ago to Knoxville, Tennessee, and we were going through the mountains, and she was like, this is really pretty. Where are we?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. You've never been here, have you? She was like, no, I didn't know this was in North Carolina.
It's kind of famous.
And she, you know, of course she's heard about it in school, but I don't think, you know, there's a big difference between reading about it, hearing about it, and then seeing it for real. And especially in history books, it can seem like, oh, that's old North Carolina. That's, you know, it got flattened somewhere along the way.
They still make so,
And she really hasn't seen much of the North Carolina beaches either. We just haven't, we've done a little bit in North Carolina, but it's mostly been around Central North Carolina. So we've been to Charlotte many, many times.
We've been better about the beaches, but.
What about you, Donna? Can you see yourself traveling one at a time with your kids?
Well, actually, I'm getting ready to do that. My niece is getting married, and my son doesn't have the grades that I can't take him out of school, so I'm taking my daughter.
Nice.
There you go.
Where is she getting married?
Denver.
Ooh.
And so we're going to fly over to Denver, and I get to, because my mom lives there, and so I'll get to spend some time with her. And I told her, because it, her birthday is the next weekend, that I'll take her skiing for a day if the ski resorts are open.
That's awesome.
Cool. So,
so how does your son feel about that?
Well, I told him I'd take him on a cruise over spring break if he made all A's between now and Christmas. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I guess I'm not going on a cruise.
So much for that motivation.
I know, yeah. Poor Owen. So Owen struggled with his grades last year, and he pulled out a passing grade in history. And Ellie was like talking at our, you know, when we were at the beach this summer, about how she made all A's. And Owen's like, I think I got more praise for not failing history than you did for getting all A's. And we're like, yeah, you probably did.
Oops.
Yeah, we were bad about dangling that carrot.
Well, it comes down to grades. I mean, I can take my daughter out because she's, you know, she's younger and she has the grades. And my older son, he's got to make better grades. He can't be failing a class and take him out of school.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, we're coming down with that too. And actually, we just sort of had a wrench thrown at us because Athena is going to go to New York by herself, her first solo flight, to see her aunt. And we planned it around a teacher work day that got taken away because we had Hurricane Florence come through. So now she doesn't have that day off. So now after we told her that you won't be missing any school for travel, because we want you to focus on high school, she's missing a day early in the year. I might have thought this for spring break because of snow, but I did not anticipate hurricane days. Yeah. So, but there's nothing we can do. We've already bought the ticket, and, you know, changing it would be more expensive than just not going. So,
yeah. So that's good. Do it as like a reward, dangle the carrot. That's what we did with my nephew, even though this wasn't a solo trip, but that's what got him to finish high school. Mm-hmm. We'll take you on our family vacation. Mm-hmm. If you graduate. Yeah.
And travel really is a great reward because it's giving them an experience that sort of ties into their education.
Yeah,
so,
he still thanks me for that, actually. That was a good trip, though. We did LA and we did Yosemite, and it was very cool for him, the kid that never really got to go anywhere. Although, he has gone other places that I've taken him. It's wherever we've taken him, though. He doesn't do that normally. So.
Well, I think it, you know, like especially as teenagers, mm-hmm. when... You know, we were all teenagers too. Teenagers are not known for being the most wonderful humans. It's not the most wonderful stage in our lives. But I think sometimes these trips kind of help you fall back in love with your child.
Yes.
And maybe in some ways they get to see your humanity a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the chance to share some of those stories about who you were. And, you know, they would have never guessed that you would have struggled. Mm-hmm. Or that you would have the same feelings, or that you fell in love, or that you, you know, let somebody go further than you wanted to, or whatever. All those things that, you know, make us adults that kids can't imagine that we would have ever went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they kind of get to peek beneath the surface, and you get to peek beneath the surface of them and see, you know, the kind of look back in the eyes of your baby all over again and, you know, think, wow, you know, I get to witness this life.
Yep.
As it unfolds, and you know, I know you guys would talk about their grades, but, you know, maybe, you know, I just need to love that human and remember they're doing the best they can, even when I'm saying, do your homework, you know, that do your homework, that there's a really cool human in there with ideas and thoughts and hurts and, you know, it's an amazing time, I think.
Well, it's a good way to get to the cool.
They think we're cool again.
Yeah. I don't know that my kids will ever think I'm cool, but I think that actually it gets to the core of what they want too. It's hard for them to express sometimes what they really want because they feel self-conscious about it, or they feel they can't mm-hmm. express themselves. You know, there's lots of pressures on them, both imagined and real. And so when you take them out of that environment and sort of give them open space, you'll hear things, you know, and I've gotten feedback on my parenting from them. You know, they'll give me both praise and criticism for ways that I parent. And so it makes me a better parent to them because they sort of get to share with me in a very safe environment how they feel. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nobody else around listening. There's no pressure of homework or of texts coming in, although we carry texts with us wherever, but you know, we put the phone down and we have conversations that we can't necessarily have at home. And it does, it really, I do always feel closer to my kids when I come back, both from traveling with them as a family and when I travel with them one-on-one. So, but I can't, every time I come back from one trip with one kid, I can't wait to go on a trip with the next kid, because yeah. It's like, I had such an amazing experience learning about, I feel like I've stepped up a little bit on this kid. Now I need to, you know, bring up the level.
I make it even.
Yeah. I feel like I got to have it on the calendar. Like mm-hmm. The ones I've done with Ellie have been like a school trip that I chaperoned and then the trip we did when they were really young. And other than that, it's Owen and Ellie were together because mm-hmm. of school schedule. And so I haven't really done anything. It's just with the boys by themselves. So, but if I do that, I got to have Ellie on the books for something else mm-hmm. because she'll.
Oh, yeah. You won't be able to live with that. Well, you'll have to send her somewhere with me. I volunteer. I'll take Ellie somewhere.
Like, Ellie's going to Seattle. And I actually can't wait till they're old enough to come on some of my work trips, because a lot of times you can't take someone who's under 18. And, so it wouldn't even be an option if I could. And,
I feel the same way.
I feel like you're really close to that precipice though. I mean, mm-hmm. take advantage of, this is from an outsider who doesn't have children, but I think you should probably take advantage of any opportunity that they're willing to travel with you now anyway, because once they hit college and they get that social life going, it's probably not going to be on the top of their list to travel with mom.
It'll
be girls weekends and spring break and or guys weekends and things like that, and then you guys will, you know, kind of cherish these moments because
okay, we're not gonna make Sandy cry tonight.
I'm actually very curious about that, because I did realize with my daughter starting high school this year, I was like, okay, I have 4 more summers, which sounds horrible, but you know, so I was like, what are we gonna do for those summers? So I started laying out the plan of what we're gonna do for those summers, which has already changed, unfortunately, just for financial reasons and also because of the way my job is. Sometimes I travel to places that I didn't necessarily plan to travel to, and therefore it prevents me from traveling to places that I plan to travel to. But anyway, I laid out this plan, and she said to me, well, why does it stop in 4 years? And I said, well, you'll be in college. And she's like, well, I'm still going to travel with you. I was like, okay, I'm going to record that and let's see what happens.
You laid the groundwork, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Because you reached out and you connected with her on these trips, and she's had these great experiences with you. And all I'm saying is, if you had waited and hadn't done that, it probably wouldn't.
Yep. I think that's true. And I don't think that that means she's necessarily not going to do the spring break trips with the girls or whatever. She's still going to do those. But I do think that she will make time to travel with me, you know, maybe not even once a year anymore. But and just like I traveled with my mom, you know, my last trip with my mom was in 2008. And we went to Walt Disney World, and that was my choice. But I said, I would like to go to Walt Disney World with you. What do you want to do there? And she was like, I want to go to Epcot, and I want to go to Animal Kingdom, and that's all I want to do. And I was like, well, which resort do you want to stay at? She said, I want to stay at the Poly. I was like, well, I want to stay at Contemporary. So we stayed at Contemporary. So, you know, we sort of compromised on that trip, but I basically chose the place, and then she chose how we were going to do it. So, and we did that, you know, that was the last trip I got to take with her, but we did that all the way through my adult life. Every now and then we would travel together. So, yeah.
Well, and, you know, I think, first of all, you know, just to point something out, Elizabeth, you know, you said a few minutes ago, I'm not sure my kids will ever think I'm cool or something like that. And then you followed up with that your daughter wants to travel with you even when she's 18. So, but I think kind of that's your answer. But the second thing is and this is more of an adult thing, but I think it applies to kids. It was just a real eye-opener to me. My niece just gone for a year, and France is going to be studying French for a year with relatives who live in Grenoble, France. And my sister and her husband traveled back together to Paris, and kind of by a mix-up wound up getting a day together in Paris. And she was saying some of the exact same things you guys were saying about being with kids, about how and my brother-in-law's pretty quiet because the sisters in our family are kind of chatty. And she said, you know, we just walked along the Seine together. And she said, he just talked and talked and talked. And she said, we were walking to go to Notre Dame. And then we got down there. And she said, it was so busy. And there was such a long line. And there were so many people. And we've both been to Notre Dame before. And we just thought, you know, we're just enjoying being with each other so much. We're just going to sit on a bench. And she said, and we sat down in front of this bench in Notre Dame. And we just sat and talked and talked and talked. And she said, it's been years since we've been able to do that. And I think, you know, that just it just opened up to me, especially when we were talking about this tonight, that, you know, if you're planning a trip with your kids, you know, with your whole family too, or with your significant other, but if you're planning a trip with your kids and you have things on the schedule, there are times you just let the schedule go because there's a moment created that is more important than seeing that next historical thing. You know, they're growing into adults, and if it's important to them, they'll get back to it. You know, but it's that moment, you know, where they're just talking and talking, and you're talking, kind of the world melts away. It's just the two of you there. And I think that's, you know, that's why we keep taking our kids on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it opens us up to do things that we might not necessarily want to do. One example would be when I went to Paris, and this was a full family trip, but my son, all he wanted to do in Paris was go to the Eiffel Tower. That's really all he knew about Paris. That was just all he wanted to do. Well, I've been to the Eiffel Tower, and it's crowded, and you know, you have to wait a long time to get on the elevator to go up, or God forbid you walk the stairs, which I wasn't about to do.
No.
And but I braced myself for it because he really wanted to do it, and I have zero regrets. In fact, I am so glad that we did that, because that's something that I would normally, going to Paris, I would skip. I would say, you know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got the little statue, I don't need to ever do it again. And I was wrong, because doing it with him was a different experience than when I'd done it with my, you know, college friends or my theater friends or who, you know, whoever else I'd been with. It was completely different. So letting them choose the itinerary, and I talk to all of my clients about this when you're planning trips with kids, getting their feedback and seeing what they really want to do and making sure you incorporate that. Even if you're not wild about it, make sure you incorporate that, because you may like it a lot more than you think you do simply because it's what they wanted to do, and the way it lights them up will, or lets them down, depending. We've had those situations too, where they're like, I really want to do this. And then we get there and like, this is lame. Yeah, well, that's what I tried to tell you, but okay. At least we got to do it together.
You picked it,
right? Yeah. I tried to tell you, but always build those things in. And that's so much about those one-on-one trips, is they get to do that so much more because it's only them. Mm-hmm. They don't have to compete for time with the siblings or the parents or whatever. It's just, they just get to give their feedback 100%. So a trip to Disney World with my daughter is very different than a trip to Disney World with my son, even though it's the same place.
Yeah.
Cause they want to do totally different things. You know, Marcus just wants to eat everything.
It was on that trip to Paris that I fell in love with your son.
Yeah.
you started doing Facebook Live with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There you had him in the Facebook Live, and he was so excited about going up on that. You were doing it. He was talking on the different things.
Yep.
And he was so excited.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, I want to be around him all the time.
Yep.
He was alive. He was so alive.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, that's why we do travel.
Yep.
For that moment. Like,
and to think, if I had squelched that and said, the Eiffel Tower is not all that much, you wouldn't like it. I mean, we would have missed all that. We would have missed that pure joy that he felt. And there were parts of it that he was like, oh, I can see why this is, you know, people don't really enjoy this part or whatever, you know, the waiting in line, all of that. He understood it when he saw it, but it didn't stop him from wanting to go. And too many times we project our own feelings, and I'm very guilty of this, onto other people and say, well, you wouldn't like that because we didn't like it, or we've already done it and we don't want to do it again. But that it's so not fair because, you know, obviously seeing him, like you said, when we got there, he was so excited. And then we get up to the very top and it starts snowing on us. It was amazing. I mean, it just really lit him up. And I will never be able to, you know, get that true emotion from him again, I fear. But I'm glad I had it. So, at least for a little while.
Well, and, you know, then when they come back and they go back to school, it's like history and geography and social studies and literature and all those things become the life for them because they've been there.
So we went to Versailles on that same trip, and we came back from Versailles. And I thought that kids would find Versailles very boring. You know, it's a big palace, yes, but it's a square box. And we were in November, so the gardens were all dead, you know. So I'm like, this is going to be a disaster. So we get there, and Marcus is kind of excited, you know. We go through the whole palace, and we get back to the room, and he's FaceTiming with his friend back here, his buddy Jesse. And he's FaceTiming, and Jesse was like, so what'd you do today? He said, I went to the king's palace, yo. He told him all about this palace and the Hall of Mirrors. I mean, he like relayed all of this detail that I just had no idea he had paid attention to and had taken in. So, you know, we always sell each other short. And I think I didn't sell him short because he was a kid. I sold him short because sometimes people don't like going through guided, you know, it's old, and I didn't know how much historical context he had. You know, he doesn't know anything about Let Them Eat Cake. He doesn't have that historical context. So why would that necessarily appeal? But he found a lot to enjoy, and he learned a lot about Let Them Eat Cake by being there. He'll probably never forget it. So, but yeah, I'll never forget him saying to his friend, I was at the King's Palace, yo.
You know, I got to raise three stepsons, or help raise them. They were 15, 17, and 7 when I got married. And so it's obviously the youngest one who I had in my life for the longest amount of time. And as he got older, we began to give him choices of, what would you like to do for your birthday? Would you like to do this, or would you like to do this? You know, and then one year it was, you can take the train to Charlotte. Your dad will take you out to the nicest steakhouse there. You can take a friend. You can go to the IMAX game and the what's the name of the basketball team?
It was the Hornets.
You can go watch the Hornets play. Or you can go we can all go to Asheville together, but you and your dad can have I'll stay back with my family, and you and your dad can have the whole weekend. You can go to the Biltmore house and Thomas Wolfe's house and maybe go to a baseball game. We'll give you all these choices. And he chose Asheville. And then we gave him $25 to spend on the weekend. And I made sure that, you know, there was some fun stuff for them to do and everything. And he could go to a burger place, and he could go to the, you know, the French Broad Chocolate Company. And no, he spent $25 on a book about the Biltmores. He was so fascinated with that home and the history of that home and everything about it. Wow. And so fascinated that he asked his dad instead, because they were part of it was getting to go out at a really nice, really good steak restaurant. He said, instead of doing that, can we go back again at night?
Wow.
You know, and he wanted to, there was some part of the tour that they hadn't gotten to take him. You know, and he went back and did that. And he was 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 12. But that book, you know, came out at least once or twice a year, and he'd read more about it, and he was fascinated with it. And his dad was shocked. You know, his dad was, my husband was like, you know, into every, if it was a sport, he watched it. You know, he didn't care if the cars drove around in circles. That's what I call NASCAR. Cars drove around in circles, or, you know, it was curling. He was going to watch the sport. And he was amazed that his son would pick sport, you know, pick this historical place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that kids sometimes will surprise you with that kind of thing.
And they may surprise themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, regrettably, that's our show for this week. It sure has been fun, and we are sure glad you hung out with us. We'd love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, Donna, and myself, Laura, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Gotta fly!